listening to the iterators of the Imperium.
Hi, I'm Miss, and I'm here with my lovely co-host Ryan, and you're listening to Season 4 of the Iterators of the Imperium podcast, the podcast in which Ryan is the expert on Warhammer 40k, and I am the noob trying to learn about the Warhammer universe. And it's Christmas. It's Christmas, Ryan.
It's Christmas, Miz.
Christmas
specials. This is going to be our fun little Christmas special, yes.
Ooh, let's go.
Also, as some of you will notice, it randomly starts snowing over Maze once in a while now, and I cannot stop giggling about it.
I'm not going to lie, I was about to mess up the intro again. Again.
Three tries it took us to get the intro without giggling, because we can't figure out why the snow randomly starts and stops.
Oh, there we go. That was here. I don't know why.
No one
it's
knows.
All right. Give me the word, Ryan. Is it Christmas related, though?
Actually, well, we're going to ditch this word thing this time, because it's Christmas, right? We don't want to stress you out, you know? You know?
I'll take that.
Yeah, but I do have a question for you, right?
Yeah.
What kind of different holidays do you think that they celebrate within 40k? Not necessarily Christmas, but like major holidays like that. What kind of holidays do you think they celebrate?
I mean, right off the top of my head, I would say they don't celebrate anything. But if I had to guess one, it would be the 4th of July, just because of, you know... The powder, essentially explosions, they would probably celebrate that, wouldn't they?
I think you're thinking of the 5th of November.
Well, no, the 4th of July in America, you know.
Oh, okay, just making sure I was understanding you, right?
Yeah, fireworks, you know, that kind of thing.
Ah, okay, the 5th of November is bonfire night for us. That's what I thought you were referencing, because we have the gunpowder treason, where the Guy Fawkes tried to blow up Parliament. That's what I thought you were referencing.
What?
No, do you not know about this?
No, but I guess they would celebrate that too.
Yeah, the 5th of November in Britain is a public holiday because it's Guy Fawkes Night. If you go to England and you ask, it's a celebration of Guy Fawkes' failure to blow up Parliament, and the bonfires are meant to be, I think they're meant to represent when he was burned for his crimes of trying to blow up Parliament. But if you ask anyone in Scotland, it seems to be that we're celebrating the fact that he tried to blow up Parliament by setting off fireworks and lighting bonfires.
You know, I like that part. I like that story better. You know, I like this version better.
I thought that's what you were referencing. I apologize.
That's
well, so if you think about it, right, a lot of public holidays are based on religion, right? Like
yes.
Christmas, Easter, Hanukkah. I'm running out of holidays because I can't think of many, but still, right? Most public holidays tend to be based around long-standing religious traditions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Imperium is incredibly religious, so it stands to reason they have a ton of holidays.
Wait, they do?
Yeah, but it just... Like how every country has their own versions of holidays or their own set of witch holidays for each religion that they would follow. So, like, Britain is no longer, I think, considered a particularly Catholic or Christian or even religious in general country, right? But we still obviously have Christmas as probably the biggest holiday here, the most common holiday here. But
yeah.
Then if you go to, like, say, like, Portugal or Spain or, I guess, even, like, Poland and stuff like that, the whole, like, hardcore old-school Catholic religion is still much closer to home. So the holidays that they consider to be, like, you know, commonplace public holidays tend to be a lot more, like, classic religious ones from Catholicism or Christianity. So, like, Easter might mean more to them, or... We don't even have All Saints Day, whereas those countries still do. And that's a Christian holiday. So, just like with that, it depends where you look in the Imperium. The holidays that they actually, like, follow will be different, but they tend to have a ton of them based around religion.
Yeah,
so the Imperium actually has a ton of holidays going on, just different ones everywhere.
And
this is the kind of thing we're wanting to talk about today, because I figured it's Christmas, so let's, you know, let's talk about the holidays.
So,
like I'm saying, the holidays do take different forms depending on where you look, right? So, there might be the same holiday takes place over huge amounts of worlds within the galaxy, right? But the way they celebrate might change based on, like, how civilized or how advanced the planet is. Or just the particular form their belief takes. Or you might also have, like, holidays that are unique to that planet or that, like, area of the galaxy or things like that. Like how countries have their own historic, you know, public holiday kind of things, right?
Yeah.
Like, I believe, I only know for a fact that Britain has it, but I'm assuming a lot of countries probably have a Remembrance Day for World War II.
Yeah.
Right? Or World War I, sorry, is what Remembrance Day is actually about, if I can remember properly. So we have a Remembrance Day, which is us, you know, we take the time to remember the veterans and what happened in World War I and how bad that actually was. So that's a holiday to commemorate something bad that happened in the past. But on the other side of that, you've also got, like, Portugal has Freedom Day, which is the anniversary of their Carnation Revolution, where they ousted a dictatorship in their country. So, in a similar vein, all across the galaxy in 40K, you'll have these religious holidays, but you'll also have these, like, historic holidays in each random area of the galaxy based on that planet or that, like, group of planets' specific history to them over the last how many thousand years. That'll be, like, to commemorate, like, ancient battles that were, like, that they won and, like, that, you know, saved them. Or to commemorate great loss that they you know, went through. Things like that. So holidays are everywhere in this galaxy. Like, they need the hope of, like, the excitement of the next holiday. Trust me. Right?
What? Like, I'm not going to lie, Ryan. This has caught me by surprise. Because, honestly, I think this is quite literally one of the first, like, literal positive things we have talked about when it comes to Warhammer, and we're four seasons in. Like,
yeah, it really is. Saying, yeah, it's like the only positives. Bit you can say is just a, like, a positive thing. Yeah, there's no, like, downside to the holidays. I'll be honest with you, though, some of their holidays are really stupid.
Oh, I could imagine. I could imagine some of them are messed up as well.
Oh, well, there aren't too many of them that are, like, that are, you know, intentionally bad, but some of them are quite stupid, right? So I'll give you an example from a couple of books that I've been reading recently, right? I've been reading a series about a character called Minka Lesk, right? She's one of the White Shields that were on Cadia as it was falling, and she makes it off the planet right, like, before the planet crumbles. And then there's, like, four books that are her storyline afterwards. And in one of them, they're on this planet, which is in an area of space governed by a family called the Rich Stars, right? And the founding member of that family that like, freed this area of space was Ignazio Richstar. And he is now considered to be a saint. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's all about the cash. But he's from, like, back in the days when the Emperor was still walking around, right? Mm-hmm. So, but because he, like, freed this area of space and settled it for the Imperium, he's considered a saint now. So they have this thing called the Feast of Saint Ignazio Richstar. And this is, like, their big religious holiday that, you know, is unique to this area. And it's weird because the way that they announce the holiday is that they have astropaths looking into the warp to look for signs that it's coming. And when the signs are all there, they announce the holiday. So basically, what happens is the holiday has no set date, and it can be like 40 years between each feast. It's not like a yearly thing. The governors of the planet just wait until they've pissed off the general populace enough with their terrible governmental system. And then once everyone's like this close to a riot and like decapitating the leadership, they're like, ah, but it's the feast. And everyone's like, woo, feast. And they forget about how much they hate everyone so much.
That's dumb. It's genius. It's dumb. I don't know. It's both.
Yeah, it's both. It's absolutely both.
Depends on how you look at it, right? From what perspective.
It depends which side of it you're on, really.
God damn, that's stupid. But God damn, that's genius.
Yeah, this is what I mean, though. That is a really stupid way to run a religious holiday.
It really is. It really is.
Yeah. But as far as like the actual holiday part of it go, it's a pretty typical religious affair where people all make pilgrimages to these like churches and stuff to be part of like these big masses and things like that. Mm-hmm. And there's obviously there is literal feasting that goes on. And usually there's like some charity side to it as well. It seems like they kind of use it as an excuse to feed the poor and stuff like that on like during this festival.
Yeah.
And that's all pretty standard, like, religious festival stuff, you know what I mean? The people are happier, they all go and they listen to, like, you know, a sermon about the general topic of the festival.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone gets together and it's a generally positive, or more positive than usual, atmosphere.
Yeah.
Pretty box standard holiday. Exactly. Yeah. Making Nazi or Rich Star Christmas cards. I don't know what they would look like. I assume they would be very expensive.
Probably gold.
All proceeds go to cleaning his tomb.
Yep.
For the record, just as an interesting side detail, right? Yep. The corpse of Ignacio Richstar is like a main feature in these storylines because his corpse is just in like a stasis tomb. For like three books after it, there is just one of his descendants going around with his, like, tomb floating around behind her and her army of these, like, the Fraternist, like, zealots. Yeah, so she just, like, uses his body to, like, whip up people in her religious frenzy to fight for her. Yeah.
Why is there snow when I say that noise, by the way?
I don't know, but it adds effect.
But that's disgusting, you know. God damn.
It is, but to be fair, it is literally the body of a saint. So you can see why it has the effect that she's looking for on, like, random humans that are just walking around nearby. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The saint that settled this entire star system wants you to go kill that guy. You'd be like, well, I suppose. I got a better reason.
Well, we're back to the whole stupid again.
Yeah, aye, that's the other side of it. Yeah, it's ridiculous, really. Ridiculous is the word.
Yep.
But it's a really good example of how like these holidays that are unique to one area and their history pop up. Because I'll be honest with you, the rest of the galaxy could not give a shit about Ignacio Richstar or anything he's ever done. Right, only the people that live under the direct rule of his family give a shit about who he was, and that's because they say they have to.
Yeah.
But, that said, there are some holidays that are basically just guaranteed to be followed galaxy-wide as far as humanity is concerned.
Yep.
So, the first of which I'm going to mention is the Feast of the Emperor's Ascension. Right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that this is going to be in reference to? What do you think it's like the celebration of, the anniversary of?
I don't know.
It's the anniversary of when the Emperor was put on the throne. Because apparently when he was put on the throne, that's the moment where he ascended from, like, a human to a god.
So, yeah, okay.
So they celebrate that. That's meant to be, like, the big holiday, right? There is some debate about which holidays are like or should be considered the same as other holidays in our life. So there are some people say that this, like the Feast of the Emperor's Ascension, should be considered like Christmas. And there are some people that say it should be considered like Easter. Things like that. But regardless, it is like it's a festival that everyone across the galaxy, human-wise, will follow because it's like the main festival. It seems to like mark the end of the year or the start of the year. I'm not really sure what. It seems like it's like their version of New Year's, basically.
Yeah.
Right? So the holiday is kind of it's different depending on the planet, just like, well, most are, really, right? Like how every country celebrates Christmas a little bit differently, stuff like that. It's kind of like that, right? So the more civil worlds, the more civilized worlds, will all do it in a very similar way. But the more, like, feral and tribal a world gets, they will celebrate it in a very different way. So the more civilized ones are like, go to mass, have a big feast, these kind of things. More religious worlds might fast for the festival rather than feasting, right? You know, as a sign of religious devotion. These kind of things. Whereas when you get to the more kind of tribal or feral or just more brutal worlds, I guess, rather than seeing it as like the day where rather than seeing it as the day where, like, you can ascend to the Emperor's side, they see it as the day that the Emperor is looking down on his people and judging who is worthy to stand by his side and who isn't. So, on this day, people on more brutal worlds, more, you know, tribal worlds, will typically, like, fight violently and aggressively to spill blood in the Emperor's name, hoping that they will die, but will have done enough, like, in the run-up to that, to be worthy to go stand by his side.
Yeah.
Which is absurd, and I love it. You also get this, like, this kind of middle ground where some people do, like, blood sacrifices to him. So, like, oh, it's the Emperor's, like, festival thing. I'm gonna go kill a goat for him. I don't know.
That's right.
It's just what people do, actually, like.
Actually, just funnily enough, in the start of the episode, I just quickly googled like weird holidays things. Apparently, killing goats is like part of a Christmas ritual back in the day. I guess that's something they did.
There was a lot of biblical animal sacrificing, you know? That is a thing. Wasn't that part of the whole, like, Cain and Abel story?
Oh, I don't know.
I
just think...
I could be wildly wrong, but I believe part of the whole Cain and Abel story was that one of them was, like, a farmer and one of them was, like, a herder. And I believe Abel would have been the one that herded animals. And because he was the one that, you know... God liked. And I believe that there's a whole thing about him, like, sacrificing some of his animals to God, and God being, like, really happy about it and loving the sacrifice.
Oh.
But you can't, like, sacrifice an aubergine, so the farmer one was fucked.
Yeah, I've seen that. However...
I think we need a joke about it in The Simpsons or something.
I was about to say I got that from The Simpsons. And
yeah.
He got the scar where his eye hang out because of it. He got punished. Yeah, I've seen that in The Simpsons.
Yeah.
We're old. God damn.
Yeah, we are. That's old ass Simpsons. That's like season 8.
Yeah, that's the early season.
I don't know how true that is. I'm not particularly up to date on my biblical lore. But I'm pretty sure animal sacrifice was a pretty common thing back in the day.
Yeah.
But apparently that still goes on for the emperor in the year 40,000. During his feast of ascension.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple of extra things that go with this, right? So on the more civilized worlds, like I'm saying, there's usually feasts, people will play games, there's like grand spectacles, stuff like that, right? All with the intention of honouring the Emperor, right?
Yes.
I don't know how playing, like, a game like Monopoly honours the Emperor, But, whatever, right? Intention is a huge part of these things, apparently.
I guess so.
So, on the more civilized world, it's pretty similar in what we would consider Christmas to be. You know, you get together with your family, you play games, you have a good time, you eat a big meal, that kind of thing. Or if you're more religious, or sorry, if you're more of a like typically practicing religious follower, you will be going to mass and things like that, which again would happen now if you were, you know, if you were Christian or Catholic or Protestant as well, I suppose, you would still go to church for Christmas, you know, midnight mass and all that kind of stuff is a big thing. I did 3 a.m. mass once at a Polish church. That was weird because I did not speak a word of Polish at the time. Just saying. I've been there, I've done it. Solidarity, that's what it's all about, you know? Showing solidarity. It was a very wholesome atmosphere, although I had no idea what was happening.
you were just there for vibes.
Basically, I was just showing support. Not that they needed it, the place was packed. But still. So there's another part to this where people think that like during this festival is like a time of like great luck, basically. It's just good vibes all around, right? But because people see it as like a really lucky time, they plan to have kids during this. So they try to like plan it so that their children are either conceived or born during the festival of the Emperor's Ascension, because it's a sign of good luck for the child. But in a similar vein, people will also plan their weddings for this period because, again, it's a sign of good luck.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a sign of good luck if you go out of your way to make it happen at that time. I think it would be a sign of good luck if these things happened to happen at that time. Not if you force it to happen at that time. Not my job to judge, though. You find your luck where you want, I guess.
But then again, how do we separate the people telling the truth from the liars, right?
I don't think we do. I think we just don't ask in the first place.
I don't mind then.
I don't really want to ask random people when they conceive their child, to be honest with you.
Yeah, not gonna lie, I don't know why I want to go there. It's out of dark as well, the way I said it.
You're going full on Inquisitor mode. Like, I don't care what he's lying about. If he's lying, I'm taking his kidney.
No. You never know when you're going to need one of those. You know,
that's fair, Simpsons. Yeah.
Simpsons again.
So, it's also said that during the festival around the Feast of the Emperor's Ascension, no false judgment can be made, right? It's physically impossible for a false judgment to be made. So, during this time, anyone that is convicted of a crime, any laws that are passed, anything like that, cannot be, like, repealed or changed because it's said that the judgment in that situation cannot possibly have been wrong. So you're not allowed to, like, to appeal anything. So if they set a law that on the first Wednesday of every month, you've got to go slap your own grandmother if she happens to be alive because the guy setting the law happened to be incredibly drunk because of the festival, because he set it during the festival, that would permanently become imperial law.
Is it bad that I kind of like that? It sounds fun, you know.
It would definitely be funny, some of the crap that would happen, but let's be honest, because it's Warhammer, everything that happened would be bad.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. So yeah, as far as I'm aware, this holiday actually works out to be like New Year's for them, mm-hmm. rather than like Christmas or Easter.
Yeah.
But that is the feast of the emperor, of the ascension of the emperor, or the emperor's ascension. The next holiday I want to talk about, right? You're going to like this one. Right? It's named after your boy. It's Sanguinala.
Wait, have we not talked about this before?
We've mentioned it before, yeah. Yeah, because I told you I was going to tell you about it in the Christmas episode, I believe, back in the Halloween episode.
You did. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Tell me about this. Thank you. La 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 la.
So, right. This is a weird one, right? Where it's actually called Sanguinala, right? But some people say sanguinalia, which is weird. But
it sounds like salmonella.
I think it's meant to sound like Saturnalia, which is one of like the Roman festivals Christmas was based off of. Yeah. Or it's one of the Roman festivals that was like one of the ones that were mixed together to make Christmas, as it is kind of nowadays. But it is very similar to Saturnalia, because Saturnalia was a festival or was a holiday to celebrate the building of a temple to the god Saturn. Right? Whereas with Saturnalia, it's the worship of Sanguinius. It's a day to literally celebrate the wonder that was Sanguinius. Right? It's just a Primarch has his own goddamn holiday for some reason, and the entire Imperium celebrates it.
I mean, you say for some reason, Ryan, he was that guy.
Actually, right, the reason that they celebrate is because he gave his life so that the Emperor could slay the arch-traitor Horus.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's the celebration of the fact that he is a martyr. You know, it's a celebration of the fact that he gave his life for the people. And explaining it like that, I think you're going to see the point I'm getting to, which is, in 40K, Sanguinius is Jesus.
Okay.
He literally gave his life for his people.
Yeah, I see the reference.
Yeah. So, to me, Sanguinala is their version of Easter more than Christmas. But it's like, this holiday is the biggest holiday in the Imperium, weirdly, right? So, during this period, they have, obviously, all across the Imperium, you'll have all these, like, different pilgrimages going on for people to get to, like, their closest major ecclesiarchy building for some big Sanguinala mass and celebration. But the main one is on Terra at the Imperial Palace. I believe what they do is they open one of the outer gates for it, so people are allowed to get in to the gate where Sanguinius was, like, physically defending that gate during the siege.
Yeah.
So basically, it's the time where people can get the furthest into the Imperial Palace, because they do open an outer gate for it. But the whole point is, it's just people make a pilgrimage to Terra in mass numbers, and then they, like, spend weeks, months maybe, depending on how devoted you are, trying to make their way as close as possible to the gates of the palace for when, like, it gets to Sanguinala and they open the outer gate, because they want to get inside for this big celebration, which... they basically just want to get inside so that they can be closer to where Sanguinius once was. But obviously, there's all these, like, major masses from the ecclesiarchs and stuff like that. All these major religious figures go around giving these Sanguinala sermons about the sacrifice of Sanguinius for the emperor and all this stuff. It's quite cool.
Sounds quite cool, yeah.
Yeah. Although, for the record, the sheer number of people that come to Terra every year for this almost pushes the planet to the brink of destruction every time.
Of course. It had to have a Warhammer twist.
Well, if you think about it, right?
Some risk, otherwise it wouldn't be worth it, yeah?
Yeah, if you think about it, right? Terra is supported by other planets, right? Terra doesn't produce anything really anymore, right? It just happens to be the home world. You can't farm or anything like that here anymore, because it's a polluted hellscape. So we get all of our food and everything from off-world, from agricultural worlds and stuff like that, right? Manufacturing worlds, these things. And it's all shipped to us. But we get enough to get by, but people still obviously starve to death on the streets every day, because there are so many goddamn people here. There are literally too many to possibly feed. It is not possible. Yeah. People die every day because of a lack of resources on the planet. But when you have, over the course of like a month or two run up to Sanguinala, you have the population nigh on double just trying to get to the goddamn palace. They cannot possibly feed everyone. Obviously, the pilgrims bring like resources with them, but they can't bring enough. And then people start panicking and start stealing from each other. And that leads to violent crime, not just like theft. And then the Arbites have to go into the streets and try to maintain order. And then you end up with like full-scale riots going on and stuff like that. And the police forces are obviously stretched to the absolute breaking point because of the sheer number of people they're trying to corral. It's just a whole fucking shit show on Terra.
Yeah, I will not be attending.
Yeah. There are a few like major storylines that take place during Sanguinala, which is quite cool. So we will like get into what happens on Terra and it like in a storyline aspect down the line, probably when we get to the Inquisitor storylines. Cuz there's like four or five storylines all happen on Terra. At the period where Cadia has just fallen. So, like, their storylines, there's, like, whole series of novels that are all going on at the same time as, like, Gilliman making his way back to Terra, and then, like, demons spawning on the planet and all this stuff. And the whole planet just goes into total chaos, and there's all these conspiracies and shit, it's mad. But there's a bunch of them that tail off from those storylines that lead up to Sanguinala. So you get to see what it's like for the people on the streets and stuff like that. It's quite cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for the record, just to make this clear, this is the most venerated day in the Imperial calendar. Sanguinala is the big one, right? Just so you know, it's the main one. Which is weird. But yeah, the way I like to think about it is that Sanguinius is their Jesus and the Emperor is obviously their God.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot funnier when you think about it that way.
Alright. Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Now I can't unthink it, you know?
Yeah.
That's not the way to say it. I'm tired.
So yep. I'm reluctant to say that the Feast of the Emperor's Ascension or Sanguinala are their version of Christmas because they have a literal version of Christmas called Candlemas.
Okay.
Which is literally just space Christmas. And this is another one of the ones that are like massively followed, but it is literally just space Christmas. There is absolutely like no differentiation worth making. It's just Christmas in space, and they couldn't call it Christmas because they don't believe in Christ. So it's Candlemas.
Yep.
Yeah.
Everything's
also
just cooler when you put space in front of you, you know? Like the Space Wolves, Space Christmas, Space Invaders.
No, not those guys. We don't like them.
Oh. Screw those guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Candlemas is one of these holidays that is like, there is no information about it. Basically, the only information you get is that it's Space Christmas. It's like, there's weirdly sparse information about it. Which is not what you'd expect. Also,
no.
I have this little cute Sanguinala tree ornament thing. I'm going to make one of these and put it on my actual Christmas tree. Oh, I also have this for Candlemas.
Ryan, you're a little crazy.
No, actually, I like this I believe is part of like a Warhammer community post where they made poems to like the same kind of pattern as old Christmas poems or songs, but based around 40k. So I think this one comes from like one about like a bastion that gets assaulted by Santa, basically. Yeah. It's a whole thing. I'll post a link to it in the description in case anyone wants to read it. It's quite funny and it'll take you like 30 seconds to read over it, but it's quite funny.
All right.
We have one last thing that we really need to discuss when it comes to holidays, right? Because we've covered, like, the two or three main ones that, like, humanity celebrates galaxy-wide. we've talked about this whole idea of them having like their own religious ones for their own saints or their own historical holidays, things like that. But
yes,
it's not only humanity that has holidays.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about one other, you know, major holiday within the galaxy. Do you want to guess which faction it's from?
I would just have said orcs before.
Orcs! Yes!
It's a true.
It's orcs!
I knew that. I'm a genius.
This boy right here is the Red Gobbo.
Yeah, I knew that.
Sure you did.
I mean, I was right. I'll take the high ground on this one.
Yeah.
For
oh yeah, run with it while you can, man.
I'm sticking with this.
Yeah. So, we are going to talk a little bit about Orc Christmas, right? Which is called Squigmas.
Squigmas. Oh my god, I love it.
Right. So, for Squigmas, what happens is the Greenskins will hang wrapped gifts in stockings, and they'll hang them by a fireplace. Right? Mm-hmm. And in the dead of night, the Red Gobble will come, and he'll snatch up the gifts, and he'll leave behind explosives.
Oh, that sounds like something from The Simpsons again.
But, yeah. You know. The Red Gobble is the orc version of Santa. It's just an orc it's just a goblin, basically, in a red leather coat who steals gifts and leaves you explosives in return, thus spreading Squigmas cheer.
Isn't that kind of like the Grinch, though?
Well, you gotta remember that, like, they don't want normal presents. The normal presents are nothing to orcs, you know?
Pleasant things are nothing. It literally is an upgrade.
They're getting what they want for something they don't want. Like, they don't want a toy they stole from some random human. They want a grenade. And that's what happens.
Yeah.
They leave out gifts, they get explosives.
For God's sakes.
So this is an actual model. This is an actual figure you can field on the tabletop game of, like, you know, Orc Santa. there's been a few different releases of him because he takes different forms. He looks different basically every time he turns up, right? And there is a whole storyline behind this character because I believe there are currently two novels about the Red Gobble. I believe there's the Red Gobble Rides and the Red Gobble Demise or something like that. Or the Gobble Returns or something like that. But I believe there's another one being released soon. So there's a whole storyline about this character, which is quite fun. But he's one of these, like, he's like a folk hero that's no one in particular. He's just whoever, you know, decides to step up and fill the role at that point in time. Or at least that's what he's became. Originally, the Red Gobble was the leader of a band of rebel grots on Gorka Morka. In truth, they just voted for who was going to be the Red Gobble, and then whoever got the vote would just throw on the coat and the goggles and just go out and, you know, do what they had to do. But because it's like it was a rebel thing, what happened was he's became this kind of folk hero, and now there's been like incidents of like a bunch of grots being attacked by chaos worshippers. And then out of nowhere, some random grot dressed as the Red Gobble turns up and, like, rallies the troops and leads them to victory. Because he's seen as this, like, freedom fighter for the grots. It's absolutely brilliant. But because every time it's, like, a different person, it's, like, a different grot every single time, he looks different every time he turns up, basically. So we have had him. All right, there's a base rule for him, right? Typically speaking, he has a red coat, goggles, and a customized slugger, right? Which is their version of like a shotgun slug launcher, basically, right?
Yeah.
That cannon or hand cannon that he's holding, it's a custom version of one of them, right? These are the typical things, but this dude has turned up with like a big red cape, wearing a commissar's hat. He had a scepter for a while, and there was a point that he was riding a squig called Bouncer.
Oh my god. Oh. For the love of everything. I love it, though.
It's great, kinda isn't nice. It?
It's kind of nice, yeah.
Yeah.
Let me guess, have you bought this, Ryan?
No, I haven't, no.
Have
I might
you considered
keep...
it?
I would buy this one, but I think what they do is that they release Da Red Gobble as like a Christmas special event.
Yeah.
So I think you'd have to be like hunting through eBay for days to find one that someone hadn't already like built and painted. And if you found one still in the box and sealed in that, it'd probably cost you like a grand. Because I think this one's from back in like 2019 or 2021. So
what?
People charge crazy amounts for this stuff, man. Especially the limited edition stuff. There's another version of him. I like his custom gun there.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Candy Striper pistol.
I like it.
Yeah. So what do you think of holidays in 40K?
Well, I stand corrected. I thought there wasn't going to be any holidays.
It turns
based
out
on the fact that it's Warhammer.
There's tons,
and they're funny, quirky to say the least. I'm gonna use the word quirky. That's
good.
The nicest way to put it. Yes.
Yes.
I like it though. It's definitely a twist on the whole Warhammer universe as a whole, I think.
Well, we haven't had reason to look at much of the good stuff yet, you know.
No,
there is good stuff. There is positives.
It is limited though, because like I said in the beginning of the episode, this is literally the first time we've ever talked about something quite positive in Warhammer, and we're four seasons in, almost reaching season 5, if I'm not mistaken. So
yeah,
I
think the last thing that we talked about that could be considered a positive is just how friendly Nurgle is. And that was a dark episode.
Yeah. I don't want to go back to him.
No one does. That is the beauty of Nurgle.
That's a separate issue. Some people would, but, you know, it's...
Once you go Nurgle, you never go back. Not entirely sure what that means, but it's probably true.
It's probably disgusting. But yep.
He seems like the kind of guy that wouldn't let you go once he had you, you know?
A narcissistic ex, you know?
Nurgle's not a god. He's just a demon that likes to gaslight people into thinking he's a god.
Yes. Yes.
How can you be the god of death and life? That's just stupid. Oh. But I think that'll do us for the Christmas special. Would you like to round out?
Sure thing. I will do that with my lovely hat on right now. Well, thank you guys for... You know what? Thank you guys for a great year. Great year of Warhammer 40K. Right?
Yes.
I'm learning a lot, even though I've been on holiday and I lost a lot of it, but it's coming back to me slowly but surely. I'm enjoying myself here, sitting and speaking with my good friend and pal Ryan for years. And thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Iterators of the Imperium podcast, season 4. We will see you next year. It's been me, Miss, and Ryan, and we will see you, next year. Take care and peace.
Bye.